You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
This week, I want to continue to talk about the benefits of knowing the love of God. There are benefits that come to us, that come into our lives, as we abide in the love of God, abiding in the love of the Messiah, Jesus, just as he commanded us. He commanded us when in John chapter 15, verse 9, he said this to his disciples, "Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." If he spoke this to them, well, he is speaking that to us. He wants us to live in his love. We are to abide in his love, as if his love was a house in which we would live, or a sphere in which we exist, or a kingdom into which we have been transferred. One of the primary benefits that we've been concentrating on is communication with God. And now I want to speak today about communion with God, because this is a major emphasis in the Bible concerning the benefits of knowing the love of God. I'm speaking of benefits. However, when I'm speaking of benefits, I'm really referring to aspects of the fullness of God, which has been promised to us as we continue to grasp the knowledge of the Messiah's love. The benefits of knowing the love of God has to do with being transformed into aspects of the image of the Son of the living God. Now let's take a look at some verses from Luke's narrative of Jesus' baptism, Jesus' immersion. I'm reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" What I want us to see here is that there is communication going on between the Father and the Son. Jesus was praying. The Father was speaking. Jesus was communicating with the Father. The Father was communicating with Jesus. Then while he was praying, this speaks of speech. "And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am delighted.'" Now this is the beginning of the Messiah being catapulted into dwelling in the love of God. Of course, the presence of God came upon him, but there was a word that came with the presence. The word that came with the presence was a word that helped to define Jesus' identity. If Jesus looked back on that day, remembering when the Spirit of God came upon him, this is what he would remember. "I was there. I was in the process of being baptized, and I was talking to my Father. And while I was talking with him, his Spirit descended upon me in power, anointing me as the Messiah. And then a voice came out of heaven clarifying my relationship with him. I am his beloved Son. In me, the Father is delighted." That is an example of Jesus abiding in the love of the Father. We are to abide in the love of Jesus. John 15, verse 9. "Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." So here we see the Lord communicating with the Father communicating with him, abiding in his love. Another benefit of abiding in the love of God is the recovery of true liberty in our relationship with God. Liberty is not license. I'm not talking about liberty to do whatever you want, to sin in whatever way catches your fancy. In fact, if you've been born from above, if you've been born again, those very thoughts would be alien to you. They would bring about a "may it never be" from the depths of your soul. Let's take a look at Paul interacting with such a concept in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace, God's favor, may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? And then later on in Romans 6, in verse 15, Paul wrote, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be." So our liberty is not to live in whatever way we want, although, being as we have been born from above, that the Spirit of God is living in us, has united himself to our spirit, we've truly been born again, our deepest desires, the most awesome and powerful desires that we have, are to live with God, to commune with God, and also to live in a way which pleases him and advances the kingdom of God. So, yes, in one way, it may be said that we can live in the way that we want, but this is not talking about sin. We do not have liberty to sin. We do not have liberty to live in any old way. So then, well, what is our liberty? The greatest freedom found through the experience of God's love is confidence to communicate freely with God, as well as complete confidence in God's ability to speak with you. Backing up, a freedom that we have in knowing the love of God is confidence to communicate freely with God, confidence in God's ability to speak with us, and also he will speak with you. It's not just that he's able to do it. He will speak with you. And also remember, he wants to communicate with you. We are to communicate freely with God. We find written in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, these words, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of favor, with confidence. What does this confidence look like? Well, it has to do with communicating with boldness. We come before him and communicate with boldness. The word confidence here means complete freedom of speech. Now let's take a look at one aspect of freedom of speech. We can talk with God about what we desire. We are able to open up our hearts and communicate with God about the things we want, things that are personal. In Psalm 37, verse 4, the psalmist wrote, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That verse has to do with what it is we're asking God for. He will give you what it is that your heart is asking. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God wants us to be in touch with the desires of our hearts, and he wants us to be able to communicate those desires to him. And as we do that, delighting ourselves in him, in his presence, in the good things we know about him, the answers are on the way. In Psalm 62, verse 8, more about the self-disclosure of our desires to God, this freedom of speech that comes about because we are abiding in the love of God, the psalmist wrote, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." The psalmist says, "What's in the depths of your heart? Imagine that your soul is like a jar with liquid in it, and at the bottom of that jar, all of this liquid, it's like the desires of your heart. It's that over which you are concerned." The psalmist is saying, just pour it out. Pour out your desire before God. Pour out your heart before him. You will find that God will be a refuge for you, and that you can trust in him at all times. You do not have to fear speaking with him. You can say, "This is a holy opportunity, if I can only take the time to be quiet before him and pour out everything which is really on my mind. Paul wrote to the Philippians, we find this in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in the Messiah Jesus." Remember Psalm 62, verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Paul is hooking into that same type of mindset. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pour out your heart before him, and then you will experience the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. And that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in the Messiah Jesus. You will be trusting in him. You will know that he is a refuge. Hearkening back to Psalm 37, verse 4, "You will delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Jesus practiced this. Well, how do we know he practiced this? In John 11, verse 22, "At Lazarus' grave, Lazarus' sisters had this confidence in Jesus." In John 11, verse 22, it's written, "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Obviously, they had seen the Lord pray, they had seen the Lord pour out his heart to God, and they had seen the Father answer. One of the liberties that we have in God is to utterly self-disclose our desires to him, our personal desires. We can delight ourselves in him, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. We can pour out our heart before him and experience his peace. We can let our requests be made known to God, and we will be confident and filled with peace because of the anticipation that our God will answer us. There are people that you may know in your life that you have confidence that when they talk to God, they're going to get results. In John 11, verse 22, they said to Jesus, "Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Perhaps you know people that are like this. If you were in difficulty, you would contact them or a group of them and say, "Would you please pray for me? Because I believe that what you ask God, God will answer." Well, why not become that type of person? Why not become the type of person that has developed their relationship with God to the degree that when you ask God, God will answer you? A hint, you are already that type of person. You need to step into that identity and act upon that reality. Self-disclosure of desire for ourselves and also self-disclosure of our hearts for others, intercessory prayer, praying for others with full disclosure. Now, I'm not going to read John chapter 17. I mean, there are 26 verses that I could read to you, but what I'm trying to say, if you will take the time to go to John 17, you will find that the Lord speaks to his Father on the night before his crucifixion and pours out his heart to God. He tells his Father everything that was on his heart. He rehearses things before God that, of course, he knew, that his Father already knew, but it didn't stop Jesus. He said, "I'm going to pour out my heart. I'm going to talk with you about everything. I'm going to ask you for my disciples. I'm going to call upon you to perfect your purposes in them." And he just poured himself out. Now, listen, there may be people that you have prayed with that when they begin to pray, it's almost like you begin to say, "Well, hold on, this is going to be for a while because they're going to be talking with God about every aspect of the situation." There will be those who are saying, "Look, you know, I'm following the words of Jesus. He said not to speak an awful lot, just to speak plainly and quickly and succinctly about my requests to God." But when you take a look at Jesus' example here in John 17, in this time of extraordinary stress, he's pouring everything out before God. And rather than being critical of our friends who spend time praying about a specific topic from every angle, they're on top of the problem, they're looking down at the problem, they're looking from the left, they're looking from their right, they're looking diagonally at the problem, they're looking from underneath the problem, they're describing the problem, the situation in every possible way. Well, listen, if this is what's in their heart, thank you, Lord, for their willingness to pour their heart out before God. Now, I know that God has answered some very short prayers of mine, but when I am abiding in the love of God, at times there is a need to pour out my heart before Him. Have you ever had that need? I would encourage you to practice doing this. Spend some time with God and tell Him everything which is on your heart.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.